Yep.
Our first reading is on page 622 of our church Bibles, and it's Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Second reading is from New Testament, from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God was not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of the water and the spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," Jesus said, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, your people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who has come from heaven. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have ever eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him."
Good morning, everyone. Two lovely readings, great scriptures. Psalm 121, we lift our eyes to the hills. As I was saying earlier, I think that's really appropriate for today when we are aware of so much trauma going on in the world, so much conflict, so many people caught up in it all. I have a dear friend who lives in Iran, and my heart is just with her. So for all that's happening in the Middle East, we lift our eyes to the hill. From where does our help come, and from where does their help come? However, I'm going to be looking at John 3, which is such a significant chapter. And it contains one of the best-known verses in the Bible. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And we're going to come back to that later. Firstly, I want to introduce you to Nicodemus, from the words Nike and Demos. And he didn't wear the trainers, meaning victory of the people. He was a Pharisee and a minority of the Sanhedrin, which was the Jewish ruling council, because that was mostly made up of Sadducees. He was an important and very learned man. Now, in the whole Bible, he only appears in John's Gospel. Here in John 3, later when he defends Jesus to the Sanhedrin, and lastly when he accompanies Joseph of Arimathea to minister to Jesus' body in the tomb, and he provides a lot of very expensive spices. Nicodemus was a prominent and wealthy leader in Jerusalem at this time. And Nicodemus came by night to meet with Jesus. Some people think that's because he was afraid. It was a difficult situation for him. I think he may have had some fear, but I think he just wanted to do this quietly as his own person with Jesus. He didn't want to meet Jesus as a leader of the Jews and as a member of the Sanhedrin. He wanted to meet with Jesus as his own person, as a man. Now, he was a person used to certitude. I like that word. The scriptures that he was so well versed in were as a rock beneath his feet. He knew where he stood. And he could debate the law in the highest circles. But meeting with Jesus was risky. And Jesus invited him into an even greater risk, a relationship with him. Knowledge of the law and scriptures is, as I said, very certain. You know what you know. You've learned what you've learned. You can speak what you know. But Jesus was asking Nicodemus to enter into a relationship. And relationships always offer an element of risk. The other evening, I was watching a quiz with my friend Vonnie, who was staying, and there was a round about the Bible. Somewhat surprisingly, we got all the questions right. It showed that we knew our scriptures, but it didn't show whether or not we knew Jesus. We knew about him, but did we know him? Being born again is about entering a relationship with Jesus and his family, the church. Nicodemus knew so much, but he just couldn't quite grasp being born again. What did it mean? Jesus questioned the fact that Nicodemus couldn't grasp this principle of new birth, because although the phrase born again only appears in the New Testament, there are a lot of references to a new heart, a new spirit, to regeneration in the Old Testament. For example, in Ezekiel, it says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Being born in the line of Abraham is not enough for someone to enter the kingdom of God. Being born of the flesh makes us citizens of this world. To become citizens of God's kingdom, we must be born again. And now, if technology allows, we're going to have a little pause and we're just going to have a little look at Jesus and Nicodemus. They're actors, really, but in this clip from The Chosen. Lovely portrayal of Jesus and Nicodemus. I love it when he says the problem that my people have are the taxations. He can only see the problem as being one of earth. And Jesus says the problem that your people have is sin. So Nicodemus may have been a teacher of Israel and a very prominent one, but apart from God's sovereign grace, he was dead in his sins. We could be the most learned member of the congregation. I wonder who that might fall on. Maybe you've got a PhD in theology, or we've read the Bible from cover to cover over the last 10 years. That's every year for the last 10 years. But unless we are born again, we remain out of relationship with Jesus and his body. We will not inherit eternal life. Jesus was asking Nicodemus to leave the certainty of knowledge and embrace the risk of a relationship with him and all that that relationship might ask. Jesus is asking Nicodemus to step down from being a teacher who knows to become a disciple who is learning. So, how do we become born again? I think we've established we don't go back into our mother's womb. First, we admit our sin, that we can't live up to God's perfect standard on our own. Then we must ask for forgiveness for that sin and repent, which means to make every effort to turn away from that sin. And we ask Jesus to be part of our life. Another very famous verse, knocking on the door of our hearts. We open the door of our hearts and invite him in. That's when we're born again. In John 1, we read, but to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We receive him and we are born into his family as children of God. When a baby is born of the flesh, it cries. When someone is born of the Spirit, I like to think that they cry. It's a cry of faith or worship. It's, oh Lord, how beautiful you are. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The cries of the newborn of faith. think we might need a little recap at this point. So we have Nicodemus, a man assured of his learning and certain in what he believes, comes to Jesus and tells him that he needs to enter into a relationship with him through new birth, the risk of relationship. Jesus asks him to give up certainty and to embrace risk. Life with Jesus is risky. Okay, we know that in him our lives are built on a firm foundation, but we're part of a living relationship. We never know what he's going to ask of us next. He might ask you to train as a lay reader. Each day is an adventure. To enter the kingdom of God, we must be born again. Am I born again? Have you been born again? That's the question. Now, I do just want to take us to John 3:16. We've mentioned it, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We've explored being born again and believing in Jesus. We know that the Father sent the Son so that we might believe in him and not perish. But I just want to have a little look at the gift of eternal life that is ours in Jesus. Eternal life. Eternal here doesn't refer to something we will live when our life on earth comes to an end. Yeah, we have a promise of going on into eternity. But when we believe in Jesus, his spirit is birthed in us, and that is the spirit of the eternal one, and we carry the eternal spirit. You've already entered eternal life. You've crossed the threshold into eternal life. It's the spirit that quickens us, brings us life, and as we grow in friendship and oneness with Jesus, we become more aware of his life within us. When you walk down the street, the difference between you and the person coming toward you is that you carry eternal life. When you're at work, you are the one who carries the Spirit of God. And it's that spirit of eternal life that helps us to forgive people, to love our enemies, to be patient and kind. I just want to go back briefly to Nicodemus because, as I said, he only had those three references in John's Gospel. We've seen one of them. Another one was when he defended Jesus to the Sanhedrin. Now, nowhere are we told whether Jesus or whether Nicodemus received Jesus and was born again and inherited eternal life. But the third time we meet him, he is at the tomb with spices. Now, to me, that is the act of love. That's not an act of knowledge. That's the act of love and a relationship of love. And that, to me, tells me that Nicodemus received Jesus and entered into that relationship. So to close, we have to choose the risk of relationship with Jesus over the certitude of knowledge. We know that to enter the kingdom of heaven, we must be born again, and eternal life is ours in the here and now. I just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that is contained in this Gospel of John. Thank you for that these words have been recorded and passed down through the generations, that we might feed on them, learn from them, and learn that we need each one of us to be born again, that we might enter the kingdom of God. And Lord, we just offer our lives to you now. Lord, just come to each person here, each one of us, and meet them wherever they're at, Lord. People who are confused, people who are lonely. Oh, Lord, we come in our broken humanity, but you come with your saving grace. Come to each of us, I pray. Amen.